There's one thing that everybody knows about me or else learns very quickly. I'm a hugger. My mother was a wonderful hugger, and I'm a hugger too, and you know that's not likely to change. I like to hug when I greet someone. I like to hug when I say goodbye, and I like to hug for no particular reason at all. I believe that a hug can speak volumes, more eloquently than words at times. And I know that not everyone is a hugger, and I respect that, so if you would rather not be mugged by one of my hugs at the door, then just stick out your hand in greeting when you see me coming, because I'm a hugger, and you've been warned. I'm a hugger, and being of this type, my heart breaks for Mary Magdalene when she finally recognizes Jesus at the empty grave. She is one of the last people to have seen him alive, watching from a short distance as he takes his final breath. And she is the first person to arrive at the tomb on Easter morning. As Mary draws near to the grave, the cloak of night still drapes the landscape. The sun has not yet risen in the sky. Most likely she hasn't slept a wink, waiting for the Sabbath to end so she can go to the grave and see Jesus' body and prepare him for his burial. And when she finds the tomb empty, she is horrified and confused. Someone has stolen the body of Jesus. Is it not enough that they have killed him? Do they have to steal his body as well? Stricken with grief, Mary races back to tell the disciples, and when they hear her anguished words, two of them race to the graveyard to see if what she says could possibly be true. And they glance around, and they find the tomb empty, the Jesus clothes folded like neat little piles of laundry. Without a word, they turn away and go home. But Mary cannot bring herself to leave. She kneels outside the tomb and she weeps. She weeps for the past when Jesus was alive. She weeps for the present, his death still so agonizingly fresh. She weeps for the future so bleak and empty and endless without the only person who ever made her feel truly alive. Mary weeps for what was, what is, and what shall be. She weeps at the emptiness, not only of the tomb, but of her life, of all life. She weeps so deeply that she isn't even startled when two questioning angels suddenly appear in the tomb. Her eyes are so swollen with tears that when a man speaks to her from outside the grave, she can't even tell that it is Jesus. Until he says her name, Mary. And then the sobs reverse themselves into a shout of such great joy. Rabboni, she chokes out the word, dear teacher. And in her ecstatic exuberance, she stumbles toward Jesus, her arms outstretched, and he holds out his hand and says, stop. And that's where my heart breaks, when he says, stop. Do not hold on to me. I have not yet ascended to my Father. What is she to make of these words when all she wants to do is feel his presence again? And there he is standing right in front of her, but just out of reach. If I were standing by my mother's grave in West Virginia and suddenly heard her call my name, Kathy, and then looked up to see her walking across the hill to meet me, nothing in the world could stop me from rushing over to her and wrapping her in the biggest hug ever. And if just when I got close, she held up her hand and said, "Stop," I would drop in despair, no matter how good her reasons, and my heart would break because I would give anything to hug my mother in my arms again. And this is why my heart breaks for Mary when she holds out her arms to Jesus and he says, "Stop." Why would Jesus stop Mary from embracing his return to life? For isn't that what resurrection is all about? Joy and hope and new life? That's exactly what resurrection is all about. And who doesn't long for a little less sorrow and a little more joy, a little less despair and a little more hope? The older we get, the more we see of life, the easier it is to get discouraged. Joy, hope, new life, who doesn't wish for a little more of all these things? Every day the news is full of sadness and death. Just when you think you've heard it all, some new tragedy hits the headlines. Why should we be surprised? The world has never been an easy place in which to live. Unwanted babies are tossed into garbage dumps instead of tucked into cradles. Children get cancer and die. People become trapped in bodies that don't work while their minds remain sharp and clear, and the minds of other people crumble into dust. And their bodies keep on going. College students are shot and killed while sitting in a lecture hall. Like Mary, we weep for what was, we weep for what is, and we weep for what will come. Life is tough. In fact, life is a death sentence. Death is the only given we have when we're born. Nobody escapes life alive. We can look at life that way, as bleak, dark, despairing, a death sentence. But there's another way to think about life and death. It is why we are here today. It is Easter. What Easter tells us is that even though life is a death sentence, death is a life sentence. Because God has the power to bring life out of death, death is no longer the final word. Because Christ rose from the dead, so will we. Because Jesus was given new life, we know that even in our bleakest moments, we are not alone. Life is a death sentence, but death is a life sentence. That's what Easter has to say about the world. Last spring, after both of our beloved dogs died 3 weeks apart, we adopted a little beagle mix, Ellie, who'd been abandoned at a shelter down in southern Illinois. Yes, this is the same Ellie who decorated our living room carpet with red paint last fall. We don't hold that against her. Ellie endears herself to everyone who meets her. Now, if dogs could hug like people, Ellie would be a hugger. She loves to cuddle. And I won't bore you with details of how I spent 12 years making every effort to keep our first dog, Sparky, off the furniture. With Ellie, I don't even try. Maybe that's because our furniture is so old and ratty now that it hardly matters if a few dog hairs are added to the upholstery. Mostly, it's just because Ellie is so darn cute. And when she curls up next to us, all seems right with the world. But Ellie does more than curl up next to us. She gets into position, she starts to settle in, and then at the last second, she pushes off with her paws and she launches her whole body up against our side. We have a name for this, Clunk. Ellie clunks all 17 of her sweet, adorable pounds. She clunks because she loves us and she wants to get as close as caninely possible. Sit on the couch to read. Here comes Ellie. Clunk. Stretch out on the floor to watch a movie on TV. Here comes Ellie. Clunk. Close your eyes and drift into peaceful sleep, and suddenly, clunk, there she is. Here I am, she's saying in her unmistakable way. You know, I love you. I want to get as close as possible to you. Ready or not, here I come. Clunk. In the last 2,000 years, scholars and theologians and preachers have written countless books, articles, and sermons in an attempt to define words like incarnation, resurrection, atonement. How do we understand the birth of Jesus, his death, his rising from the dead? Let me propose to you on this glorious and beautiful Easter day that all these truths of the Christian faith can be summed up in one word. Clunk. And before you run me out of town for blasphemy or call in a specialist because, well, if you were already concerned for my mental health, you are now, just hear me out. In all the gospel accounts of Jesus' resurrection, he returns to the disciples in physical form. He returns not just to the empty tomb, but to their homes and their places of work, anywhere they happen to be at the time. Jesus meets them up on the mountaintop. He walks with them down a dusty road. He joins them for supper and breaks bread. He makes a campfire on the beach and cooks them fish for breakfast. Jesus even invites Thomas to place his finger in the wounds on his side and hands. Jesus does not distance himself from people. Even after his resurrection, he returns with the promise that nothing in life or death will separate us from God's amazing and spectacular love. Here I am, God says. I love you, and I want to get as close to you as possible. Ready or not, here I come. Clunk. Jesus stopped Mary from embracing him when she first sees him at the empty tomb, only because he's not yet finished with the unfolding events of resurrection. The cross has brought the incarnation, his earthly life, to a close. Temporary life has had to end. And now Jesus must return to his Father in heaven to complete his purpose. After Jesus returns to God, he returns to the world and is present with us in a way that would not be possible within the constrictions of a human body and a human life. The new life Jesus gives has no boundaries. This is forever. This is the truth. This is Easter. Jesus holds Mary back from embracing him for one brief moment so that it becomes possible for everyone to embrace him, not just one person. So that it becomes possible for Jesus to embrace every single one of us and all the world as well. In a world that is often draped in the shroud of Good Friday, we need constant reminders that God is not and never will be a distant God. So God comes to us through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, through resurrection, and wraps us up in Christ's love. Here I am, I love you, and I want to get as close to you as possible. Ready or not, here I come. Clunk. To the woman who grieves for the unfulfilled promises of what her life could have been, Jesus says, your life may not have been what you had hoped, but your life is precious to me. You are precious to me. Give me the broken pieces, and I will make you whole. Clunk. To the child who would give anything to feel her grandmother's loving arms wrapped around her one more time, Jesus says, your grandmother may have had to leave this world, but she left behind her love, which lives on in you every single moment of every single day, and not even death can take that away. Clunk. To the man diagnosed with a life-changing illness, Jesus says, do not be afraid. I'm with you, and I will take your hand and walk with you through the valley of the shadows, and I will be your light. Clunk. To all those who suffer and grieve and struggle to find hope, God says, I am not a God who is distanced from you. I'm a God who is right here, right up by your side. I love you. Clunk. I am a hugger. You know, I think God is a hugger too. I think when we get to the pearly gates, Jesus isn't going to greet us with a handshake or a wave of the hand, but with the biggest, most loving hug we could ever imagine. This is what Easter is, that we don't have to wait for that day. Even now, God, through Jesus Christ, wraps us all and the whole world in the biggest loving embrace and says, here I am, I love you, and I want to get as close as possible to you. Ready or not, here I come. Love. Pray with me. Lord and Jesus, you wrap us all in loving arms that will never fail and never end. On Easter, we know that we are loved without condition, that you want to get as close as possible to the people you have created and loved. Here we are, Lord.